Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
When might you need to see a foot and ankle doctor? Let's go in-depth with Dr. Michael Lee with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So, Dr. Lee, where are you from?
I'm from Clarinda, Iowa, southwest Iowa.
And so then where'd you go to college?
From Clarinda, I went to the University of Northern Iowa. And then after UNI, I went to medical school at Des Moines University.
All right, and what got you interested in the foot and ankle?
I wanted to have a procedural type practice. I wanted to be able to get people, moving again quickly. Deal with athletes and people trying to get back into work and things of that nature, and it just seemed like a good fit.
Well, and it's very complicated skeletal structure in your feet and ankle. Like, it's as complicated as it gets, right?
Yeah, well, the hand and the wrist, foot and the ankle, there's 26 bones in each foot, 204 bones total, so do the math. A quarter of them are in your feet and your ankles, so, and then almost another quarter in your hands and your wrists. So, yeah, it's pretty complicated, and with weight bearing and getting up and moving again, not only correcting deformities but making the foot functional again, it can be challenging and complicated.
Well, and what is the more common procedures that you do?
Really, anything from bunions and hammer toes, simple forefoot type procedures to complex ankle procedures. I do a lot of ankle arthroscopy. I stabilize ankles, fix ankle fractures. But a lot of what I do is bunionectomies, hammer toes, flat foot reconstructions, and even non-surgical things like tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, or heel spurs. I see a lot of patients for heel pain, which is typically a non-surgical problem, but still pretty debilitating and painful if you have it, and so we can treat that non-operatively.
Well, it's probably a good thing, but I don't even know what bunions or hammer toes are.
Yeah, that is a good thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing you haven't had to learn about that, at least until now. So, there's a lot of misconceptions about, what those things are. People come in and they think they've got a bunion and it's really nothing more than a callus. What a bunion is really, it's a deformity that I call hallux valgus. Hallux is your big toe, and valgus implies that it's rotated out of position. And so, a bunion is traditionally a big bump on the side of the foot of your big toe joint. And then the great toe is drifted over towards the second toe, sometimes overlapping or underlapping the second toe, and so there's a malalignment of your big toe joint, and that's really what a bunion is. Hammer toes are really it's a kind of a crooked toe where the toe is pulled up in the air and is now curved, and it oftentimes rubs on shoes and gives people problems or issues because of the deformity in the toe.
Well, both of those sound painful.
They can be, yes. When they're non-painful, it's usually early in the stages of the problem, and then as the deformities worsen, they tend to rub on shoes more, they give people problems with prolonged standing or certain activities, and as they become more and more painful, then they become more problematic and more of a surgical problem for patients.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about feet and ankles with Dr. Michael Lee with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. What about some of the non-surgical things that you do? Do you do any non-surgical things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Probably three-quarters of the patients that I see through clinic in any given day, maybe even more than that, are non-surgical. So things like plantar fasciitis or heel spurs, Achilles tendonitis, different types of tendonitis in the foot, even simple things like thick dystrophic toenails or ingrowing toenails, and I still see and treat and deal with, you know, some toenail problems or pathologies. So yeah, there's a lot of non-surgical things that I deal with. And in reality, you know, even many of the surgical problems, we're trying to avoid surgery if we can. So we're treating people non-operatively with a brace for a flat foot or an arch support for a flat foot, trying to avoid the operating room. But sometimes that's just how, you know, these deformities progress. Gravity has a tremendous effect on our feet. And so, you know, many things like a flat foot, over time, you just can't overcome that. And, you know, you need to provide more support than what an arch support in the shoe can do.
Well, now, I have flat feet, confession. Yeah. But, you know, they started when I was a little boy, they started with, you know, high arches and stuff. And it was very painful. It was like the cure was worse than flat feet.
Yeah.
Was that just the old school way of doing
things?
No,
well, to some degree, there was, you know, if we go back 30, 40 years.
Yeah, go back a little more.
Yeah, maybe more. I wasn't trying to date you, but, you know, with flat feet, you know, gone are the days where you couldn't get into the military because you had flat feet. And we've recognized that not all flat feet are bad feet. Some people have flat feet, and they've functioned that way their entire life, and that's not a problem. So a flat foot is only problematic if people are having pain related to their feet, or they're having postural type symptoms. So they get leg pain, hip pain, low back pain, because their feet are so pronated or flattened out that now it's causing structural or support issues for them. So yeah, flat feet are in and of itself not a problem unless they're symptomatic.
Okay, so I like to get my 10,000 steps in a day. Mm-hmm. And you know, some days my feet hurt. Most of the time I'm all right. I don't think I need to go to a doctor. Maybe, you know, I'm just so intrigued, I want to just take my shoe and sock off. But it's like, it's not a big problem. How do I know when I have a problem? Is it something that should be really, it's really painful, or do you need to see me before that?
Yeah, well, you know, oftentimes people wait too long to come in. And, you know, if there's any question, if there's any doubt, then it's probably best to be seen. But generally, you know, if your feet are sore or achy or tired at the end of the day, especially if you've been on your feet a lot throughout the day, you're getting your 10, 12, 15,000 steps. I think to some degree, a little bit of that, especially with maturity, is to be expected. But if you're, you know, halfway through the day and you can't wait to get home to get your shoes off because something's bothering you, or every time you sit down, when you stand up, the first 10 or 20 steps are excruciatingly painful, then it's probably time to have somebody take a look. And, you know, it may not be much that, you know, we need to do, and there may be things that need to be resolved and addressed. But a little achiness, a little soreness is probably to be expected. It's no different than, you know, if I have a busy day, sometimes I get a little sore low back. I'm not running to the spine surgeon right away. But, you know, if it becomes more problematic, it's starting to affect the things that I want to do throughout the day, then it's time to have it looked at.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about feet and ankles with Dr. Michael Lee with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Do you ever see problems because of the shoes we wear? Does that cause problems?
It does. And sometimes it's the shoes that you're not wearing. So, you know, I joke all the time with my patients that I'd be half as busy if people just wear shoes around the house. And, you know, for example, on the heels of COVID, you know, people weren't wearing shoes. We went 6, 8, 10 weeks, and, you know, many people never put on shoes, and probably a lot of them didn't even put on pants through that time, because they're, you know, at home the whole time and running around their house in their bare feet and their stocking feet, and it's caused a lot of tendonitis and plantar fasciitis. Sometimes it's the shoes that they wear, and I always say, you know, I wear flip-flops on the weekends, and I probably shouldn't say that as a, you know, a foot and ankle surgeon. I should say never wear them, but I wear them, and I'm not going to be upset that somebody else wears them. But if your feet are bothering you, you've got Achilles tendonitis, for example, probably don't need to be in a pair of flip-flops. You need to be in something more supportive. You know, same thing with heels. Sometimes we see some problems or issues with even like Western boots, cowboy boots, and things of that nature. So muck boots for farmers, not a lot of support in those. So yeah, there are issues with certain shoes that people wear. And again, sometimes it's just the shoes that they aren't wearing. They're spending too much time in their bare feet or their stocking feet.
Well, that'd be me at home.
Yeah, right. It is me too. But you know, what I say is if you're having a problem, then it's time, you know, it's okay to be barefooted. It's okay to be in your stocking feet. You know, that's generally when I'm happiest, when I don't have my shoes on, right? So I'm home, I'm not working, I'm not in the middle of, a crazy day. But when you're struggling with a foot problem, it's time to get yourself in something that's a little more supportive, because we do need that support.
Well, some of the work that you do must be really important to keep people working, right? If you're on a factory floor, on cement all day,
yeah,
you probably see a lot of people with issues.
I see a lot of people that, you know, work on their feet. Standing's probably almost worse than people that do a lot of walking. So if you have a job as a, you know, security officer where you stand, you know, in one area, that's almost as painful for your feet in some situations as somebody that works in a factory on concrete but walks from one place to another. But both can be detrimental to their feet. And likewise, we see people that sit at a desk, but they go every night or every morning, they go for a 5 or 6 or 7 mile run. And that's just the same as being on your feet all day long. And so it's a lot of both in reality.
I bet you work with a lot of athletes too.
A lot of athletes, see a lot of things like Achilles tendon ruptures, ankle instability, you know, soccer players, baseball players, softball players that have sprained ankles, things of that nature.
Do you do any preventative teaching to help us, help the young athletes to, is there anything they should do? Any advice you give them?
Probably the best advice I could give young athletes, it's not really the young athlete that you have to talk to, it's the parent or the parents or the coach. And you know, just in the time that I've been in practice over 20 years, I've seen a big difference in how kids train and participate in sports. And it's not uncommon for me to see an 8 or a 10-year-old that is playing soccer in the morning, they've got baseball games in the afternoon, and then they're doing their football workout in the evening or whatever sports you want to choose. And there just isn't an off season anymore for, and even if they're one sport athletes, you know, they've decided that, you know, baseball is their sport or basketball is their sport, and they're doing it, you know, a 10-year-old's, you know, involved in some sort of activity related to that sport for multiple hours in a day. And every single month, and so they don't have a week off, they don't have a month off. And so one of the things I tell young athletes and their parents is they need an off season. So even if you're going to play basketball year round or you're going to play 4 different sports, you need to have an off season, whether it be, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. They need some time where they're not going to play, they're not going to participate, and they got to give their body a chance to heal and mend. So we see a lot of overuse type injuries in these kids, you know, track athletes that have multiple stress fractures or what we call stress response injuries because they've been running for 18 months straight. There's no off season for them, and they need that. We all need it. But kids used to get it. Adults maybe not, but kids used to. Now we're seeing these overuse injuries in young athletes that we never used to see.
Tell me about a really good day when you went home and thought, I really made a difference in that person's life. Or is that just every day?
No, it isn't every day. I mean, you know, you feel like you do, but sometimes, unless it's verbalized, you don't always know it. And, you know, medicine has changed, and not to get too down in the weeds, but, you know, sometimes days are, you feel like you're 15 or 18 minutes late to everything that you're doing. I think I was a little late coming to talk to you. And that can start to wear on you. I mean, I'm a person that, you know, I like to be efficient. I like to be on time. And so that can weigh on you. And sometimes somebody lets you know that you made them wait, and, you know, you apologize. But I try to give everybody the time that they need to get their answers, to get their questions answered, and make sure that, you know, they're set and they know what they need to do moving forward so that they can continue to heal and get better. But, you know, I mean, good days for me is when, you know, somebody verbalizes it, or, you know, somebody comes in for their final follow-up after some sort of surgery or problem. Maybe it was a, you know, complex reconstruction. You know, and they verbalize, or at least you can see it in the way that it's changed their life, or changed at least, you know, how they function and get through a day. So I have a patient, obviously can't name names, but she worked, and her job required her to throughout the day to walk from her office down the street to another facility, and it was about two blocks in downtown Des Moines, and she drove those two blocks her entire career because she had such terrible flat feet. And she'd seen people, you know, in various institutions and teaching facilities in the Midwest, and nobody would fix her flat feet. Nobody would help her. And I fixed both of her flat feet, and literally it's changed her life. I mean, she walks now for exercise. Not only does she go from her office to the other building that she needs to go to two blocks away, and doesn't have to drive her car or take a scooter there, she walks, and she's walking for exercise. You know, it's changed her life. It's changed the way she gets through in the day. So those are the things that, you know, that you kind of stick in your mind. I mean, you know, you can fix somebody's bunion and they're happy with it, and but those are, I don't want to say routine, but those are the things that you do every day, and maybe they, at the end of the day, they don't stick out as much as somebody that says, you know, wow, I can walk. I'm taking my dog for a walk every evening now. And those are the things when you realize it's really impactful.
Thanks to Dr. Michael Lee for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.